It's about 12 minutes to 11. Great to have your company. 131-873 is the open line here. Joined by Ben Maloof, who's brought in a mate, Dave Padden. He's the director of the Independent Brewers Association and head brewer and co-owner of Akasha Brewing Company. Dave, thanks for coming in, mate. It's a late night, but obviously you don't have a home to go to.
Comes with the territory, unfortunately. But thanks for having me, Merrick. It's great to be here.
First of all, independent brewers, they're a little bit of not a dying breed, but a fighting breed, no doubt, because my understanding is a lot of these small independent breweries that we see, you know, even in bottle shops, are sometimes owned by very, very large brewing companies.
They certainly are. There's about, with my Independent Brewers Association, I rolled off my term at the end of last year. We've watched this industry grow a lot. There's about 600 independent brewers in this country at the moment, a little bit more, but there's a few little, what we call faux brands out there as well. Brands masquerading as independents, but not quite that.
But owned by massive international conglomerates.
That's exactly right.
That's what we've heard. But we're not here to talk about the politics of beer as much as the flavour of beer, I hope, because we've got some craft beer tasting glasses in front of me that quite frankly look like a candle holder from the 70s. I'm not sure where to put this on me.
That's a very easy one, and I won't go down that path. But look, Dave's really well known in the industry for doing a specific style. And in IPAs, or India Pale Ales, as their proper name is known, is a forte of Dave's. He's regularly winning awards. So that's the style that we're going to have a bit of a look at this evening and go through a little bit of a journey along the brewing process. So, Dave, you've started us off with something called the Hopsmith Little Smith.
Well, I think we've got the Little Smith at the moment. The Hopsmith is our, and as you say, the IPAs is what we do. Unashamedly, we focused heavily on that style of beer, that American-style hoppy-focused beer, which is usually called the IPA. What we've seen over the last 12 to 24 months is, a bit like you were saying about wines before, we're seeing beers, or people after beers that are still tasty, still hoppy, still have those awesome American fruit salad, piney flavours, but in a lighter style beer. Mm. So the Hopsmith has been our flagship beer since we started 4 years ago, but we bought out the Little Smith relatively recently. Still got all those big flavours, but only at 3.5%.
So tell us, how should we be drinking a beer? Is it the same as the wine experience? Are we going for that sensory look, smell and taste?
100%, absolutely. It's got to look appealing. I mean, I don't matter what you're drinking. If it's not looking good when you're looking at it in the glass, then why bother?
With beer, it's, you know, generally different shades of the same colour. Is it, you're looking for the head on the beer is the important thing with these beers?
You're looking at a number of things. When we start, and there is, you know, pretty much five criteria beer. The first is the look of it. It's the colour, it's the clarity, and often with IPAs, particularly recently, we're seeing them get cloudier and cloudier. So they don't necessarily have to be clear, but they got to look nice. Absolutely, the heads, you know, you've got a nice head there, and a little bit of lacing on the glass too. So as you're drinking it, as it's swirling around the glass, you want to leave it what they call lacing around the glass as well, that nice white.
Are you actually swirling it before you suppose? I mean, when we're doing it with wine, we're breaking open that surface area. We're getting the aromatics coming from underneath. Same principles?
Absolutely. The second thing we're looking for after we've looked at it, we've decided that it's a good-looking beer, is to swirl it around and stick our nose in it and see what it smells like.
Well, it smells like beer, but it is. I can smell it's hoppy. I've got a question for you, though, because I like a golden ale, typically. It's probably one of my favourite types of beer. I like a good, full-flavoured beer. But with the IPAs and with those hoppy kind of beers, I find that after you've had two or three, it gets a bit grippy in your mouth. There's an aftertaste, a bitter aftertaste that lingers around.
The bitterness is... So a lot of the IPAs that influenced me, and a lot of the brewers that are brewing IPAs were a West Coast style IPA, and they were very, very bitter. We talk about IBUs, or International Bitterness Units, as that measure, and they were often around 60, 80, 100 IBUs, and now we're seeing exactly that. We were looking for a little bit more drinkability, and so we're backing off those IBUs down to even 30, 40 or 50 IBUs, so we're almost halving what they used to be to get rid of that.
Yeah. The market was dictating the fact that it was a bit too bitter.
Yeah, absolutely. People want to be, we call it, in the industry, we call it, there's a bunch of us, we call it the two schooner test. If you can't have two schooners of it and not continue on, then, you know, maybe you're doing something wrong.
You're just wetting the whistle at that point. One of the things I'm always interested in, you walk into a bottle shop these days and the craft beer section is not only large, but you're seeing a huge shift towards cans as opposed to bottles. I think back in the day, bottles was almost had that premium feel, that premium element to it, but it's not the best vessel to be storing beer in, is it?
No, cans are, and we had that challenge. Cans definitely are much better for the beer. I mean, there's a couple. The two big things that kill a beer pretty quickly are light, and obviously the bottles are usually relatively either, you know, some are actually clear, but you know, brown. This still allows a little bit of light in the bottle. The second and probably more important one is oxygen. So we're able to get a beer into a can. Usually these days with a little bit less oxygen, and that makes sure that the shelf life is a little bit better.
And so what's the next kind of trend in beer, do you reckon? You know, I know the IPAs are very popular now. Are we going to start seeing another variety of beer start to hit our shores that's being popularised overseas?
We're often, IPA's been, IPA and Pale Ale definitely are the biggest styles we're seeing. Mm. Both here in the States, we get a lot of our cues from the States, not from the Budweiser side, but more from the craft side.
My God, there's an old joke about American beer being like making love in a canoe. Have you heard that one?
Not very well. Talking about it a lot.
Yeah, I bet you do. It's not for on air.
Yeah. it is for this time of night, but probably not for this station. Yeah.
If you like the punchline to that joke, I'll email it to you. It's never going to be anywhere near a microphone.
But with nearly 7,000 craft breweries in the United States, there must be a myriad of new concepts, of new ideas. Mm. Is it a challenge for you as a brewer to sort of wade your way all the way through those unique styles and bring it back to something that's going to be appealing for your audience?
Yeah, I think, as I was saying before, IPA and Pale Ales definitely are there as the most popular. We're seeing new ones come in, new styles come through, and they're usually not just new styles. They're probably styles that have been around for a while but have been tweaked for the modern consumer. So, for instance, sour beers. We've seen a lot of sour.
Yeah.
And you know, sour beers have been around for many, many years, particularly over in Europe and Belgium and places like that.
So, I've tried them, and they're with mixed results.
Yeah, I think that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, we talked about wine earlier. I think beer's exactly the same. You're not going to love every beer you ever try, but it's about going on and learning about what your palate really enjoys. Before we quickly let you go, we've got a big bopper here that's 8.5% that I wanted to quickly crack open. It's called the Corbin D. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is the other end of the spectrum, really, isn't it? I think whilst our stock standard IPA, it's no slouch at 7.2%, and is one of our biggest sellers.
It's copper.
The double IPA, or the Corbin D in this case, is just an amped up version of that. Lots of hops. Lots of alcohol, lots of malt, but still relatively balanced and not too bitter as well.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's a good drinking beer.
Puts hairs on your chest, I think.
Oh, that's what I need.
Could you do two schooners of America? That's a question.
Yeah, definitely. There's not much. I could do two schooners of motor oil. I'm not to be trusted. Gentlemen, it's been great having you in the studios this evening. Sorry we don't have more time, because then I could drink more. Dave Patton from Independent Brewers Association, and of course, Ben Maloof. Mate, thank you very much for coming in. I hope to see you boys again soon.
Thanks, Merrick.
Thanks for having us.